Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Just Another Manic Monday with Money Girl. I was waiting to see if I was unmuted.
You're unmuted, and I kept you unmuted, so you could just roll on in, and you're unmuted, so I guess I'm your guest today.
All right, Big Steps! This makes Monday truly a magical, magical Monday. So, Stats,
yeah.
You know, it's Monday, and I know you've been working on some projects, and I know there's some things in play where the political has become very personal. Do you want to talk about that for a little bit?
Yes. We were talking about this morning. I thought you were talking about this assignment that I just did, which is also.
The answer is you can talk about both. You can talk about both, right? Because your entrepreneurship class is very personal and certainly is related to your business that you're trying to grow with Splendificus and MSFP. And it also relates to this morning's conversation, which is also personal.
I'm doing this assignment called the Ice House Project, and I'm doing it, and I'm watching these videos, and the more I watch it, I'm like, holy shit, I'm an ice house entrepreneur, and I'm like, this assignment was incredible. I'm actually going to reassign this assignment. And you're the first person on the board who's hearing this to the entire board and have them research why they're also an ice house entrepreneur.
Okay. Do you want to unpack what an ice house entrepreneur is for everybody else?
Basically, it's about having a growth mindset and whether you have the formal education to do what you're trying to do or not, just to go through with it. It started with the term came from and this guy, and I think he was a former plantation worker, and he – without any education, opened an ice house, and it sort of, and to my understanding, it sort of spawned off into this program of people who, how there's these diseases that are named after people, and it's sort of the similar concept is it's not necessarily about being an ice house entrepreneur doesn't mean you're literally going off and making ice. I'm like, it sort of became a program unto itself. And, you know, we as a board, I think we each have our own style and we're learning from one another about that style and what we bring to the plate. And I think rather than scream at the board, why haven't we done these Spendificus Fest, get the board to get their confidence to say, y'all are entrepreneurs too. We have Skippa on our board, and she has never taken any official business classes and doesn't have, you know, that training, but, you know, she tirelessly works on editing the board agendas and making sure everything's spelled correctly and then she does her music and is able to wear these many hats. And that's part of what being an ice house entrepreneur is just the willingness and the ability to just go for it.
Okay. So the term ice house actually goes back to the 1800s for everybody else who is, let's just say that an ice house is something that no one would be familiar with, except in a very historical context. And so what the person who ran the ice house for an area figured out how much ice they could hold, how long it would last. They had to keep it cold. They put it in straw and all these other things to insulate it so that this ice would last for a long period of time, right? So this is in places like the South where this is pre-refrigerators. So if you've ever heard them called an ice box, it's because you used to have this box with a piece of ice that was there, and that's what you used to keep your food cold. This is before refrigeration. So
right.
So this is something that would not be familiar to a lot of people. That's why I'm putting it in a little bit of a historical context. But the most important thing is to remember is, yes, you are absolutely right, Stats. We are all entrepreneurs, and guess what? We each manage a brand. Do you know what that brand is?
It's our brand. It's us.
Exactly. It is us. Like, Money Girl has her brand, her crazy Money Girl Manic Monday, for people who are, you know, marginally fiscally savvy. And I being a broke grad student, right? So I'm going to have to get out there and market myself. I'm completely pivoting and rebranding myself because I have spent years as an administrator actually doing what Skippa does, as far as making sure everything is spelled correctly, everything is where it's supposed to be. And frankly, after doing this for years, I'm kind of burnt out and I want a new road, a new pathway. So there's what we call a white space in energy.
Yeah, and it's definitely interesting, and I don't even know if I should be saying this on the radio, but it's true. One of the things you learn, and we discussed in class, and I can relate to, is not every CEO has that CEO checking account that you would expect a CEO to have. You know, I don't like to admit this, especially within my own brand, but yes, Big Stats is making more money off of right now off of working security and working retail for Source, but it's the hustle, the continual sacrifice into what you do that will grow your brand and make it profitable.
Actually, Stats, you are among many entrepreneurs, okay? Because they talk about self-funding, and entrepreneurs who end up funding their business until it becomes less of a side hustle and more of their main hustle. So right now you're kind of in transition. You are actually on trend with a lot of other entrepreneurs.
That's good to know. Very good to know.
The thing is, you know where I learned that, actually? History of hip-hop. It was one of those classes that you didn't think it would fit, but it absolutely kind of blew my mind because I've used some of the things learned there in grad school, all right? So, that's where that goes. So the answer is, okay. So you're excited about being an Ice House entrepreneur, that is someone who sees an opportunity, doesn't necessarily have a formal education in that opportunity, but is going for it and learning to develop the skills to do that.
I mean, I plan on minoring in grad school and when I get to the grad school level in nonprofit management, but hey, sometimes you get you start the nonprofit before you even get to gaining the knowledge about nonprofit management. Look at me, Foundation.
Hey,
so, but you know, that's growth mindset and learning from experience at its core, because I am literally learning as I go, and there is a lot that I've learned and I look forward to when I get to the grad school and doctoral levels of applying what I've learned, just as I did for getting into this BA program in music industry, applying what I've learned and preaching on what I learned about running MSFP.
Hey, I will tell you, grad school, I wish I had done that. No, I don't wish I had. There are parts of grad school that are really fun, and there's parts of it that, you know, just like everything, there's some parts of it you really like, and there's some parts that make you go, what was I thinking?
But, yeah, Yeah. For me, the word, like, I'll, if I need to bite a bullet on certain things, I'll bite a bullet. But for me, the term calculus scares me a little.
I will tell you, it isn't the ugly, scary STEM calculus. There's business calculus, which is not it. It's still part of it's being able to do things like, you know, calculate rates of return, rates on investment, things like that. Figuring out your stock value, stock pricing, things like that that require a little bit higher level math than, and remember, calculus is also, business calculus has grown out of statistics. It's another, like, advanced statistics. And that's what business calculus is.
Well, I guess then I guess now I got to take it, because if my name is Big Stats, then Stats is short for status and statistics, both which shall be big, should be big. I got to live up to the name.
Hey. Just remember, there are lies, darn lies, in the statistics. And technically, with the statistician code of ethics, you're not supposed to use statistics to sort of skew people's intentions. But there are ways it can be done. So, and you get to find out the lovely thing that everything fits underneath the normal curve. The bell curve. Yeah. That was a terrifying moment. I nearly choked on my big Carl when I found that one out. That's all part of it. And, you know, and then there was what we were talking about earlier this morning, in that one of our board members, Pink Fairy, was talking about ways to support, if not physically, because let's face it, I do not look good in camo. Sorry. Just don't. But there are ways that I can support aside in the conflict that's going on in Eastern Europe.
Well, it's interesting because I, and this is coming from someone who actually does have a song called Three Lone Soldiers, but I don't look good in camo either. Yet I have a song called Three Lone Soldiers. Go figure.
Hey.
Hey,
my brother actually did a song about being a soldier before he actually became a combat engineer. So you're not alone. Which is to say, folks, there is a difference in standing at the edge of the pool and looking into the water and jumping in and having it be over your head. Okay? Two very different experiences, right?
Right.
So, but what can we do? Well, there is a spiritual component, and apparently I actually logged into CNN, and they said the people in Ukraine can feel Europe, the rest of Europe's and the world's prayers for them, and it gives them hope. Now, Pink Fairy, her particular faith is actually doing what's called a prayer walk. And although we can't physically be with her, we want to join and encourage other people to join with us in sending that positive spiritual energy to buoy up the people of Ukraine.
And it's crazy because, I mean, I don't necessarily always discuss my ethnic heritage, but I am actually a descendant of both Ukrainian, Polish, and Russian descent. And it's crazy when I see what's going on there and what that could be like.
Okay. So how does Ukraine affect Money Girl? Actually, pretty directly. And it affects you and everybody else. Why?
Well, also, and besides for that, I live in the east side of West Hollywood. Yes, West Hollywood is sometimes looked at because of its LGBT association.
No.
Like being the San Francisco of Southern California. But
no.
The east side of West Hollywood is also Torich. Has a huge Russian Russian population. So I look at what's going on with how is this going to affect the businesses in my community? There's this big Russian bar, there's Russian markets, there's Russian bookstores all in my community. So how does this affect the economy in my community?
So the answer is there are, and more people are sanctioning, and by that I mean tech companies, Google, Apple, BP. These are all big players. And without any government urging, are kind of taking this up. But you have to realize your community, the Russians around you, right? There's a micro level. The people going, right, the individual moms and pops, the people we live next door to, the people who work down the street. They're also
right.
affected by these higher level decisions, the macro, the global. And maybe one of the good things, and I'm going to say it's a good thing, Money Girl thinks it's a good thing, right, to look at what was considered once the inevitable trend toward globalization. Maybe it's not such a good thing. Maybe the way Money Girl has been advocating for years, buy local. Support your local businesses in your neighborhood. You don't have to go buy it from overseas just because you get this great price. Well, there's a cost that comes with that great price, which is someone here has lost their job because it's been outsourced to where it's super cheap. But you can't get those things if they're stuck in the port of Los Angeles where they're containers. Okay. They're just, it's a balancing act. But
right.
The most important thing we have to vote with is our wallet, because money talks. And apparently Money Girl is talking too. But all of these things affect us. It's not just one thing. If you've seen a big round spider web, right, it's all these tiny threads that are connected. So what happens if you pull one? First off, the spider gets freaked out, comes out, sees what's for dinner. Next, you notice that everything in the web moves. You can't just take
right.
one thing out because one piece affects everything else. And that's the way the economy is. That's the way our money moves. And certainly, there are a whole bunch of other things that affect that. So, Stats, what questions do you have for me?
I'm just trying to figure out, you know, we have this nonprofit that, you know, focuses in, you know, yes, we give grants to benefit creatives that we work with, but the other elements of our nonprofit focuses in on social justice and mental health. So you look at what's going on with the situation in Russia and Ukraine, and I can't help but wonder, is there something as a foundation we can do to aid this, whether it's donating, raising money to donate to this prayer walk that Pink Fairy is participating in, or something overseas? And I'm trying to figure out what can we do to aid as a company, to aid what they're going through.
Well, there's one of Money Girl's favorite charities. I've volunteered for them. And I know they have a pretty low margin as far as administrative costs. And that's Samaritan's Purse. They are they're putting people on the ground to administer medical aid. That's one of the things that we can, Catholic Charities is another one. There are several, and this is where I say, go do your research. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has a humanitarian aid fund, can give what's very important, cash, because cash and those things are not easy to come by in a war zone.
Yeah,
at times. Okay.
I mean, if we want, and I know that we have a board member that is connected with Church of Latter-day Saints. So
yep.
Maybe I can reach out to that board member and see what we can do to make that happen.
You know, so there are several ways. Now, this is Money Girl speaking, right? Because remember, it's marginal financial advice for the perpetually broke. Keep your receipts. You can write off a percentage of that donation on your taxes next, not this year, but next May, next April in 2023.
And I'm glad you said that, because we're currently working on filing our Splendificus Foundation taxes. So it'd be like, can we write it off now? No.
Yeah, I know. There are a lot of things we think we can write off. Now, it's interesting. The IRS wants to start doing facial rec to go with our personal returns, which I'm going, you know, as terrible as you guys are with security, I don't think I want to give you that much of my personal information. Thanks.
Here's,
like I said, make sure you do your research. Okay, you have some places like that have a very high administrative cost. And so that's where most of your donation goes. It goes to keeping fancy offices with big names on Wilshire Boulevard. Or you have smaller groups like Splendificus, Nourish LA. Okay, any one of these groups. So you need to do your research, okay? You need to go say, oh, I've heard about this foundation. Let me go look them up. Do they file? First off, are they filing a 990? So are they actually doing what they're supposed to do? That's one thing to look and say, is this legit? Do they let people know how much of their costs go where? Because that can all be verified. So you need to look at those before you just kind of randomly. Now, that's why I listed several people, several groups that Money Girl personally knows and trusts their distribution. So, and that they, so, you know, if you're not sure, you can always ask, if you're involved with a religious group, you can always ask your faith-based community.
That is true. And I know that you're big on, you know, several years back, I made, 10 years ago, because I'm reminded every time I study for these review shows for the American Idol review show.
Is that triggering for you, Stats?
Yeah, it's 10 seasons ago. They're on the 20th season, and it's crazy, but you know, what's probably more triggering for me is the fact that, you know, and I don't want to say this to my fan base, but I sometimes do, is like, why don't you go back on American Idol? And I'm like, I would love to go back onto a reality show, but American Idol has age limits, and the fact of the matter is I am 13 months away from being a 40-year-old man. I'm like,
trauma. Actually, 40 is not horrible. 41, different
but
story.
But it is geriatric in the eyes of American Idol.
Oh, so we need to get so yeah. Maybe the board will get you a walker with a pretty bow on it.
There we go. But
you realize you're not all that far away from AARP membership, right?
And another thing I was reminded of with that birthday coming up is I'm not that far off from being eligible for regular colonoscopies. That's a whole world of fun to look forward to.
You know, if you're on Medi-Cal, you know what they do? They go, here, poop on the stick, send it back to pathology.
And this is why this is an uncensored internet radio station, because we can talk about shitting on a stick.
Yeah, it isn't quite that. You know, there's a very specific procedure, and this is the part that's hysterical. Technically, you are not supposed to mail anything that could be a potential biohazard, right? What do? They give you a self-addressed stamped envelope, postage free, to return your sample. And then you write down everything on the sample. Pathology still calls you. Why? Because there is some intern somewhere being bullied by a resident who can't read legible handwriting. That's why.
Yep. And yeah.
And that is because that particular matter runs downhill.
And we talk that term last conversation could have a whole new meaning. You know. I hope when I'm going, it's not running down a hill.
Seriously, you can't take money too seriously some days.
Okay, but what we're talking about...
Because some days it just kind of devolves into that particular emoji.
Yep. So we at our board Both Money Girl and I are proud former, in my case, now current again, SMC Kappans for Phi Theta Kappa, and we were talking at our board, at our Splendificus board about, you know, 50-50 partnerships to try to help raise money for us and for them and creative things. And why I had brought up before, you know, Money Girl being big on eco and me making that promise is, was one of the things that I'm looking to develop is a recycle-a-thon, but you know, because of the SMC's policies, we can't all gather at the same place at the same time, so they would have to ship their recyclables. But do we develop a P.O. box for them to ship it to? How do we go about doing that? And that's something that I've been wondering, and this is where I kind of want to pick your brain about this.
Okay, so what we do is we get plastic-lined boxes that people can simply walk up and chuck their cans and bottles into. Say, you know, socially distance yourself at the designated drop-off, which means we need to have someone to come by, pick all that up, take them to whatever recycling emporium, get a receipt, and then because they pay you in cash, divide that up. You there?
So I maybe the answer is I put a that on these flyers, they have our office number and make an appointment to meet up with me to drop off these recyclables.
Exactly. The whole thing is, right, this way you're encouraging social distancing. Why are we still doing this after 2 years, this 2 years or 2 weeks to slow the spread? That's all I have to say about that. You know,
yeah,
I'll tell you exactly why, because SMC is risk averse. Absolutely.
I have this joke that a year from now we'll be you can go across the street to Graveblock and go inside without a mask, but as soon as you cross the street and walk onto SMC, they're gonna say, "Where's your mask? Put it on."
Oh yeah.
True.
Oh yeah. Anyway, I can't complain. I am still using SMC's Chromebook. I've been trying for 2 years to get it back to them.
I'm at a point now where I realize I'm going to be a dual enrolled student simultaneously working on an AA, a BA, a master's, and a doctorate all at the same time, which is crazy to even fathom.
Okay. Okay, because some of those things are sequential, right? You have to have the BA before you can work on the master's. And you have to have, well, you don't have to have the master's. You can have, as long as you have the BA, if it's a direct, you can go into the PhD
so maybe the
program.
Better way to say it
is you plan on staying at SMC.
Simultaneously with, I am actually now as a dance major planning to do one class a semester so I can still focus on CSUN.
There you go.
You know, I will be simultaneously earning an AA while working on all those other degrees at the same time, because one class a semester for a brand new major, that's some serious commitment that's going to take some serious years to get to that AA. So I will probably have my BA before I have my AA potentially have my master's before I have it, and possibly even my doctorates before I have my associates.
Well,
but
okay.
I'm going to be working
so,
on them together.
Once upon a time, having majored in undecided, and by that I mean I changed my major 6 times in 1 year. And then it only, the 7th time was the charm. And then it only took me another 13 years to get that associate. So, you know, yeah, you're in good, I get it.
And I definitely
that was my first associate.
To our listeners, that, you know, as I've said to the woman that's going to be my advisor for my AA and dance is, you know, I'm still a music industry studies major at CSUN, planning to keep that major all the way through the doctoral level. But, and the reason why I want to get an AA is not with the intention of trying to go out and being a professional dancer, but I have a dance blog, Big Stats Dance, and I do stage performances, musical stage performances. You know, I'm one half of the MSFB crew, and then I have my solo stuff, and I incorporate this into what I do. So I'm getting this AA to enhance what I already do, to make it stronger and better. And it goes back to my other blog that I do on YouTube, Big Stats Redemption of an American Idol. It's part of my redemption to, you know, be able to improve myself and what I am and what I do.
Which is all part, if we're going to circle back, it's all part of being an entrepreneur. Now, remember, there's this huge focus on degrees and degrees being the thing. A degree, that piece of paper, is just as much a tool, because what that does is it backstops your knowledge, right? It says, okay, this person can now show that they have at least a knowledge base in this. Okay, but it's
still
a tool, just as much as a screwdriver, as a saw, as a drill. True.
Right, and that's, yeah, and I think about, you know, erasing the stigma of being the quote-unquote American Idol rejected. I've had a love-hate relationship, but people don't know. I've also been, you know, because they say, oh, he's just this hip-hop guy. And yes, that is true, but I've also been classically trained. And to get into CSUN, I had to pick an audition piece. And I, like I said, I have a love-hate relationship. I mean, I had a very public audition with that American Idol thing. And, you know, I wouldn't exchange that experience with American Idol for anything in the world, because I learned so much from that experience. But when I auditioned, I'm like, started practicing classical, and I have been classically trained, and I'm excited about this new project, the musical project that I'm working on, that's going to be the sophomore project to Splendificus Sextuplets Coordinating Matt Frankel, which is actually named after one of our other board members, Big Stats Letters to Pink Fairy. And it talks a lot about our journey. There's a whole song that I have on there talking about the origins of MSFP, but with this, I am experimenting more with my sound, because I've been a fan of so many genres and I can sing classical. I'm like, how do I incorporate all of this into a hip-hop medium and create something new and interesting? And that's my goal with this Letters to Pink Fairy project. I'm excited about the content, like I said, because there's songs about the origins of me and Pink Fairy and me and Skippa, because I've known Skippa now, like, for a really long time. I mean, it's crazy because when we first met, I met Skippa doing at a K-12 school where I was choreographing cheerleaders. So it circles back to me now being a dance major at SMC, at least. And at the time, we were both writing lyrics and having these song journals. I even saw one of her journals, but never thought to ask what was in her journal, because I figured that's private to her. Apparently, we were both simultaneously writing song lyrics and never knew until several years later when I heard her rap on a MySpace, and I'm like, wait, she raps? She does this? Okay. And then we reconnected. Like, I never knew. I'm like, okay. And
hey, so,
ever since 08, it's just been, or 07 was actually when we reconnected. So we knew each other since the early 2000s. Like, we met back in 2001.
2001 was a magical year. That's the year Money Girl became a phoenix. So
yeah, I mean, there are some sad things that happened. You look at the emergency hotline and the irony of the big memorable event that happened in 2001.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, but
I mean,
there are things that happened on a macro and a micro level. Remember, the micro level is what we deal with every day. There's the macro level that are the big things that. Okay. This is kind of a Buddhist thing, but yeah, control is an illusion, because there are some things that just, yeah, nope. Nope.
This
you don't
is,
control them. Nope. Sorry,
money girl. I mean, this is Money Girl Manic Monday.
Oh yes. Oh. And while we've talked about some heavy things, we have talked about some heavy things, right?
Right.
That's part of mania, is the hyper focus.
Oh, for sure.
Right? It's like, I may be super crazy bouncing off the walls, but I'm all focused super bouncing off the walls because I am working on this project. Seriously, March 24th, it's not a Bink-a-thon per se, because it's for a specific group that is not Pinky Patrol, but it is a group that is coming together to do good for other people.
And I even want to figure out, I've said this to you off air, but I even want to figure out, how can we take that knitting and also fundraise if we go full-fledged with this partnership with the SMC Phi Theta Kappa? You know, how can we, whether it's knitting, for, like, how do we fundraise?
You, you make me
knitting,
sound like a sweet
knitting.
Grandmother knitting somewhere. No. I mean, like, I'm sitting here in my little rocking chair, just my needles clicking,
well,
click, click, click. First
and
off.
And I'm walking in.
I don't knit.
Walker.
I don't knit, actually. I crochet. One needle, not two. So there's only half as much chance to stab myself. But there are other things. The other thing is, if you want to do something local, I would say look up what you like to do. find out something you like to, if you like to grow seedlings. I can recommend Sunshine Nourish LA and a cup there, which they are a legitimate 501c3. They have their nonprofit, full nonprofit status. They do donations and things like that, so you could get involved that way. SLOLA, Seed Library of Los Angeles, right? They are a .org. They are happy to take monetary donations. And what a seed library is it is actually locally grown, so they're adapted to our local environment, seeds that are not, that will, you know, breed back true, so that if things go really sideways, you can, because if it all goes sideways, it comes down to four things. Can you grow your own food? Can you cook your own food? Can you build something? Right? And if you can't build something, right, can you barter for it? That's what it's all going to come down to. And knowing how to make fire, knowing how to make fire is a bonus. Like, no, seriously, if anyone has ever watched Survivor, right, there is at least one challenge every season where someone has to make fire.
Right.
Those, if you can do all of those, great. If you only do one or two, probably being able to grow and cook your own food. Because what is our number one survival drive? Eating. There is another survival drive that is very close. Is a very close second, but we're not going to talk about that right now. This show may be unrated, but there are some places we just do not need to go, do we?
All right. Yeah, we don't need to. I mean, there's certain types. I know there's a lot of pie eating contests, but there's certain types of pies we don't need to talk about eating.
Yep. Yep. I think that should be a conversation with Skippa. And that's all I have to say about that.
Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da.
Ah, I'm going to kill you. Yeah.
So, maybe we should the show with one of her songs.
Yes, as a matter of fact. Let's close out the show. I will catch you all in a week to have, so we can have another Manic Monday. Just remember, it's your money. You need to vote with your wallet, right?
So, it's Skip. This one is Skip a Lead, but it is MSFP crew song, but it fits along with the same theme of da-da-da, da-da-da. This one is, we're closing out the show today with MSFP crew's song, The Orgy.
All right. Yes. Until then, money grow out.
All right. And after this, we'll catch you on the flip side. But while we're waiting for this to play, I do have to say this song was executive produced, the instrumental, by one of our own, Crown, and we have a Save Crown project, and we talked about it a little on our board meeting. If you want to know more, if you didn't catch the board meeting, we started doing our monthly board meetings simulcasting on Instagram, and we actually have it linked to this episode. So just click on the link below to find our the Instagram, and you can actually listen to that board meeting and know more about the Safe Crown project. But this, so produced by Crown. Once again, this is MSFP Crew with a song led by Skippa with The Orgy. Here's the secret. With this one,
I don't think we do either. It just what comes natural, what just happens, happens.
Hey, you know, that's why it's manic.
Yes.
Because, you know, Mondays are what Mondays are. And that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. So I guess all that's left to say is we'll catch y'all on the flip side.
On the flip side.
Peace.
Peace. Bye.